Jesus' name, for this wonderful day that you've given to us in the many ministries here at Calvary Chapel and the wonderful servants who serve in those ministries. Lord, we thank you for the shoe boxes that are on their way for the second service, the shoe boxes that are here right now. As Lord, we dedicate them into your perfect hands and your perfect will. Lord, bless the hands of those who have put these boxes together. Thank you, Lord, for them doing so. And Lord, place them in the perfect hands of the children all over the world, wherever it may be. Lord, you know the perfect box for the little one to receive. May it be anointed. May they feel your love and your presence. May they be saved. And Lord, we dedicate them to you and give you praise and glory and thanks. And Father, as always, I pray this morning that every heart be open to the Word of God. Lord, help me to teach your Word. Bring all things to my remembrance. And Lord, we lift up little Jessica there that was in that automobile accident yesterday, Father, and just ask you to be healing her body. Also pray for my wife, Lord, just to continue healing her, to raise her back up, Lord. Bless us now. Bless this word in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, we're going to be beginning in verse 1. You know, this again, remember that the upper room from chapters 13 all the way to, well, part of chapter 18, but we say 17, okay, is what we call the upper room discourse. Now, with all that being said, this is Jesus's farewell message of his last night with the disciples. He's about to depart. He's going to the cross. So he is equipping them with his words and so forth. He's preparing them for his departure. Chapter 14 through 17 is three chapters that should never be neglected by the believer. They have been called the Holy of Holies of the Gospel of John, and for very, very good reason. The text that we have in John chapter 14, I could literally preach 50 sermons just in this one chapter. But to do it justice, I have to teach from verse 1 to the end. And then I will be coming back next year on Wednesday nights perhaps, and really going deep into these gospels, into these chapters, because they need that desperately for each and every one of us. You know, our text here is not this morning. It's not for anyone of the world. It is only for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that your hearts now are definitely open this morning. And with tender words, not one word of judgment or trying to produce any guilt or any of those things, tender questions that I ask you right now. I am not certainly saying that you do not do these questions. I'm just saying I want to ask you these questions. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a very, well, Bill, I'm a believer. I know you are. I'm asking you a question tenderly. Are you salt? Are you just partial salt? Are you the light of the world? Or is it just kind of dimming? Do you really in your heart, have you taken up the cross of Christ and are you following him? That very important questions. Or are you just maybe carrying a piece of it? Or how far down the road are you really willing to go wherever our Savior leads you? I need you this morning. I need your heart up here with me. I need your hearts open to the great truths that are before us in our text. It is my fervent prayer right this moment that we all enter into the upper room with our Savior. These are his words to not only the 11 that were with him at that time, but to everyone who names the name of Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. So this morning, as we open John chapter 14, verse 1, we're going to look at, when we get to verse 23, about where Jesus says, we will come to you, beginning in verse 12. It says, most assuredly, again, amen, amen. It says, I say to you, He, or literally anyone who believes in me, the works that I do, Jesus says, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. This verse has been so abused and so taken out of context. You know, Jesus worked incredible, great, unbelievable miracles only in one place, didn't he? And he did so for 3 years and not in any other country around the world, just there in Israel and so forth. Jesus didn't say more works. Jesus said greater works. Jesus didn't say in the work here, he says, you will do greater works because you are special or because we are great or famous. That's not what he's saying at all. Jesus said, you're going to do greater works because I'm going back to my Father. Are you with me? Very important. He's going back to the Father, and then he'll be able to send the Holy Spirit. And then what kind of great works have we done since then? Yes, healings and so forth. Which is a greater work, to heal the blind or to heal the blind heart that doesn't know Jesus Christ? Which is the greater work? Which is the greater miracle, eternal life or just healing someone? Eternal life, amen? Yes, so there's these greater works. So who is really doing the greater works? The head of the church, working through his church, his body, us upon this planet. Whenever we give the Holy Spirit his proper place in our lives and in the life of the church, it manifests the presence of Jesus in a lost world. And then Jesus uses us to do his work, not our work. Amen? Very important that we know that. Listen, you know, in Mark 16:17, when Jesus, the resurrected Lord, giving the Great Commission, he told them, as he tells us as well, he says, and these signs will follow them that believe, meaning every believer, not just the disciples. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. And then in Mark 16:20, in the same text, he says, and the Lord confirmed his word. Why? For the Lord was working with them. Who was doing the work? The Lord. He's using us. We're his body. Amen? Are you with me? Very important that we understand that. In Acts chapter 9, verse 34, when Peter cries out, he says, the Lord healeth thee. It wasn't Peter saying, I'm healing you. He said, it's the Lord Jesus that heals you. See, these great works that we're doing comes from the power of another. And we are to do what Jesus did. Remember how in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power and so forth, who went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him? Well, listen, 1 John 2:6 tells us that we ought to walk, if we say that we abide in him, we ought to walk even as he walked. Amen? See, we're to do the same things, but the same things that we do, that he does, that we're doing, is only because he lives in us and it's his will. And whatever, now we move to prayer, and whatever you ask in what? In my name, who's going to do it? That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now listen, there are certain qualifications for prayer. Number one, we have to pray in his name. To pray in the name of Jesus means that all that he is in his perfect sinless character, all that he is, we would ask things compatible, not incompatible, but compatible with his divine character, okay? In other words, you know, God doesn't answer me because I'm Pastor Bill. Hey, that's Pastor Bill, I've got to answer. No. He answers our prayers. He hears our prayers because we pray in the name that is above every other name. Amen? In the name of Jesus. But the goal of our praying, look what Jesus said, the goal of the praying is there, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then he says, if you ask anything in my name, who will do it? He says, I will. I will do it. Not us, but Jesus. And he says, anything in my name, I will do it. Is that a blank check? I mean, can I ask just anything? I mean, anything. Lord, would you get rid of my next door neighbor? Huh? Lord, would you make me popular in high school? I mean, you know what I'm saying? No, not anything. No, see, whenever the qualifications, this first of all has to be in his name, but the second thing is we have to pray according to his will, and that's why it's so important to know the word of God. Amen? When we know God's word, we know what his will is. You know, in 1 John 5, chapter 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, there's that word again, anything, but then it says, according to his what? Will. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know then, we have all the confidence in the world, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's why Jesus said, don't ever stop praying. If you're praying for a prodigal, you're praying for someone who's not saved, is that the will of God for you to do that? Absolutely. He hears those prayers. That's why Luke 18:1, what did Jesus say? Men ought always to pray and never give up, never faint, never become discouraged. Matthew 7:7, in other words, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. The fervent, passionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man, James 5:16, availeth how much? A much is very, very powerful to God. Listen, is it God's will to forgive you when you ask him? Yes, 1 John 1:9. Is it God's will? Say, Lord, you know you've commanded us to be filled with the Spirit. Is it God's will for you to be filled with the Spirit? Yes, it's a command. Ephesians 5:18, be ye being filled. It's a command. That means you can be filled every day to overflowing. Every day. How about our provision and our needs? Is that praying the will of God? Matthew 6:33, what did Jesus tell us? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, everything that pertains to life, okay, shall be added unto you. So first, we pray in his name. Number two, we pray according to his will. But number three is very, very important because this promise is only given to those, look at verse 15, that love him. Jesus said, if you love me, literally, you will keep, okay? If you love Jesus, if you love me, you will keep, you will value, you will treasure, you will guard, what? My commandments. Listen, Christianity is not a law. Christianity is a person, amen? I mean, here we have the Lord, the most loving person that ever walked the face of this earth. And to love the Lord is to obey the Lord, okay? The Bible says in 1 John 2:3, it says, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, meaning Jesus, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and my truth is not in him. Now listen, obedience is the evidence, number one, that we are born from above, and the proof of it all is that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we obey him, we are saying that we love him. Listen to these scriptures here. John 15:10, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We just learned that in John 13, same thing. John 15:17, these things I command you. What are? That you love one another. Drop down to verse 21, look at this. It says in verse 21 of chapter 14, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Verse 24, he who does not love me doesn't keep my words. Boy, listen, this is Jesus talking to them and also to us. How powerful is that? Well, you say, well, Bill, I love the Lord. Well, do we obey the Lord? See, that's the proof. Now, 1 John 5:3, this is love for God. What? That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not heavy and they're not weighted down except to those who don't want to obey. No, listen, love for God is not demonstrated by saying, oh, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah and all of that. That's not how it happens. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't demonstrate our love by our words. We demonstrate our love for God, for Jesus, when we obey him by our obedience. Amen? You know, it's like when Thomas was a little boy. I tell him, now, Thomas, go clean your room. And then, he didn't come back to me. He says, Dad, I memorized what you told me. You what? I memorized it. Go clean your room. Yeah, but did you clean your room? No, but I invited all my friends over. We had a Bible study in the Greek on how to clean the room. Yeah, no. How important is our obedience, which expresses our love for Jesus? James 1:22, you know it by heart. It says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Did you know that James 1:21 is not an option or a suggestion? It is a command. The absence of obedience leaves the Christian living in self-deception. Now, to hear and not obey is not only to be deceived, it's worse than that. It means that the word of God has absolutely no effect upon the person. He heard it but didn't do it. So it had no effect upon his life, upon his character, his attitude. There was no obedience there at all. See, self-deception is believing just calling Jesus Lord is enough. No. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things that I command you to do? Very important this morning. How is all this accomplished? Thank God, not by our power, amen, but by the power of another. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. With you, para, that's what it means in the Greek there. In other words, when Jesus said another helper, matter of fact, helper is only used by John, by the way. Another means another in the Greek, another of the same kind or equal to, okay? The Holy Spirit has been called the Lord's other self. The divine helper, verse 18, Jesus, when he was talking about, I'll not leave you orphans and so forth, he says, I will come to you. I will come to you. Now listen, the helper, what does that word mean? It means comforter. It means advocate. It means standby. It means intercessor. It means strengthener, the one who encourages us to bring comfort unto us. He is the divine helper of the church. Parakaleo. Para means with. Kaleo means called. So called alongside of. Parakaleo or paraclete, meaning the Holy Spirit of God. Para is a member alongside of us. En in the Greek is in. When we're born again, he comes into our hearts. And then the other word is epi in the Greek, which means the Holy Spirit comes upon us, like in Acts 1:8, when we're baptized or endued with power from upon high. Now look at verse 17. The Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive or cannot welcome, neither sees him or knows him. You see, the world lives by sight. The Christian lives by faith. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, but he has to be born again. Now, but you know him. Watch this. You know him. You know the Comforter. You know the divine helper. You know the Spirit of truth. Why? For he, that means the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a language. He's not an essence. He's not a force. For he is a person. He dwells what? With, that's the word para again, and with you and will be in you. And that is future tense. That means the day of Pentecost. So the Spirit of truth is truth himself. Jesus said, I am the truth. Amen. And what does the Holy Spirit do? What does he do for the Lord? Well, John 15:26, and then in John 16, 14, I believe it is, it says, he will testify of me, meaning the Holy Spirit, and he will also glorify me, not glorify the man, glorify Christ, not glorify the preacher, but glorify the Lord. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Spirit of truth, he cannot lie. Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. The Holy Spirit will never lead you down the wrong road. He'll never lead you away from the Word of God. He is always with you. But look at that again. He will be where? In you. Loved one, listen, are you conscious of that? He will be in you. That means that your body, my body, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? How easy it is just to say that. How easy it is to know that theologically, even head knowledge, but not understand or not even fully be aware of what that means. Listen, our bodies, we are the naos, the holy of holies. Do you understand? We're the holy temple of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body, this body that's sitting in the pew right now, this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You're a purchased possession, okay? 2 Corinthians 6:16, for you are the temple, and that word is naos. Again, there's two words for the temple, heron, which is the temple complex, if you will, and then naos, meaning the most holy place or the holy of holies. 1 John 4:4, what does it say? Greater is he who is where? In you. And we're the naos of God. We're the temple of the living God. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And then Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you helpless. I will not leave you orphans. Jesus is going away. Their hearts are troubled, man. They're hurting inside. They're in the upper room all alone with our Lord. And look what Jesus said. I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is saying, yes, I am departing physically, but I will be returning spiritually, and I will presence myself by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Why did Jesus say, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to come back. I will come to you. The reason, loved one, is this. We cannot, it is an impossibility for us to live the Christian life with our own strength. The only one who can live the Christian life is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why he comes and says, I'm going to come and live in you. Galatians 2:20, it is no longer, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. Paul cried out in Philippians 1:21, it is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives within me. It says in John 6:63, Jesus said this, it's the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. We either live by the power of another, the divine helper, the power of the Spirit, or the power of the flesh. And the power of the flesh will accomplish absolutely nothing in Christendom. Without the Holy Spirit, no believer can have 1 ounce of Jesus' goodness, his love, his power. There's no Christ-likeness, if you will, without the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, in a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. In other words, the world's getting ready to crucify me. They're going to put me in a tomb. They're going to put a seal upon it. I'm going to come out of that tomb, but the world will never see me again until I return. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, meaning the resurrection. Because I live, you will live also, that wonderful promise of eternal life. And at that day, now that's the day of Pentecost, okay? At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me. And look at this, and I in you. How can I teach that? How can I stand before you? You know, in my prayer time this morning, early this morning, I said, Lord, how can I teach this chapter? I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know how to express it. Look at that again. Look at those words. You, Jesus, in me, and I in you. If Jesus lives in our hearts, loved one, there should be a change. Amen? There doesn't have to be division and gossiping and lying and backbiting and cheating and all the rest of the things that the church is famous for. Jesus said, no. Listen, at that day, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work where? In you. That you're the good work that God is starting. Listen, Christianity is sharing the very life of Jesus. It says in you. In other words, he is the founder, and the founder now lives in our heart. We've become the follower, if you will. And now listen, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When it says Christ in you, that means everything that Jesus is now lives in you. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you mean to tell me that your life is in me? Yes. Your power is in me, your love, your goodness, everything that he is. Yes, Bill, you are the naos. You're my temple. I live in you. I live in you. I've given unto you eternal life. Galatians 4:6 says, because we are sons of God, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ, into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, or Daddy, Abba, Father. Where his Spirit now bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed the sons and daughters, or the children of God. Now, look at verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who what? Loves me. Are you guys awake this morning? Are you at another church? This is Calvary Chapel. Are you here? It says, and he who loves me, watch this, will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest or reveal, make myself known throughout your entire life and manifest myself to him. And then Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself or manifest yourself to us, but not to the world? I tell you what, I thank God for Judas, not Iscariot, but Judas here. I thank God that he asked that question. Amen? He goes, Lord, how? And look what Jesus answered. And Jesus answered and said, I pray you memorize this verse. I pray this verse comes alive in your heart forever and ever and ever. If you should put that in red in your Bible, if, meaning there's a condition. If anyone, no matter who they are, if anyone loves me, he will what? He will keep my word. And watch this, and my Father will love him. And look at this, and we will come to him. There's something so mysterious and mystical about that. We will come to him and make our home with him. The word home is the same word used in John in 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions or many dwelling places, many homes. Only used in the Gospel of John. Listen, it says, if anyone loves me, not if anyone in the church, in the body of Christ, pretends to love me. Not if anyone just professes to love me. No, not if just your head is convinced, but not your heart. He said, if anyone really loves me, here is the proof. And the proof is he will keep, he will treasure, he will value, he will guard, that's what that word keep means, my word. And if we do that, look, the next step, my Father will love him. I don't even know how to teach this. I don't know how to teach that verse. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 3:1, it says, behold what manner of love that God the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called the children of God. Did you know that word, what manner of love, or just what manner, is used only 6 times in the New Testament? It is only one word in the Greek. It's an incredible word. It means, I don't even know how to explain it. It's deeper than I know. It's deeper than wonder or amazement or shock. What manner is a word that's used, something that is foreign to the world, something that doesn't exist in the world. In other words, it's God's love from heaven that's been shed abroad in our hearts, the love of God, the uncaused, unconditional love of God our Father, who sent his only begotten Son to die for us. It says he will love us like that. Behold, what manner of love that God has lavished on us, the recipients of his love. You know what? If that verse in 1 John 3:1 doesn't shake you up, you need to go back and remember where God found you and what you were. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? And he saved us. I look at that and I say, oh God, you are so, so good. It is my prayer as I prayed this morning, and I know you may not like what I prayed, but you know what I said? I said, oh Father, beginning with me, if it's there, beginning with me, oh God, and all the church, please melt every hard heart. Every hard heart at Calvary. And may, oh God, our hearts help us to really love our Savior who died for us, who was mocked for us, who was beaten for us, who was put upon the cross for us, in the tomb for us, who ascended for us, who is living for us, interceding for us, and who's coming for us. Amen? Listen, I say, oh God, help us. Look at it again. It says, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. We will come to him, Father and Son. He will come and live with us. We will never, ever be alone. The most powerful persons, entity, whatever, in the entire universe says, I'll come and take up my residence with you. Why? You're my temple now. Your body becomes my temple. And not only that, it says we will make our home with them. That means Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Again, my body, the temple, is now home to the Trinity. You know what that means, loved one? It means that you are completely, unequivocally accepted by God the Father. Ephesians, what is it, 1:7. We are accepted in his beloved, meaning that God now loves you just as much and equal to as he loves his only begotten Son. That should melt our hearts. That should literally blow us away. And whatever we do, loved one, listen, never let your heart ever enter into the next verse of this scripture. Look at it in verse 24. He who doesn't love me does not keep my words. No, doesn't obey me. Doesn't love one another. Doesn't believe you have to love one another as Christ loved us. Believe that we don't, it means we don't really have to pick up our cross and follow the Lord and deny ourselves. We don't have to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. That's what that means. Anyone doesn't love me, well, he doesn't keep anything I've ever said. He doesn't do one thing. He doesn't obey me. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You know what Jesus just said? Don't miss this. He is saying that religion, he is saying that any denomination, he's saying that church membership or having a seminary degree, nothing will produce love for Christ or obedience for Christ. Only love for Jesus produces obedience to his word and nothing else. These things, here in the upper room, what Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Did you catch the Trinity there? The Holy Spirit, the Father, my name, that's the Trinity. Did you catch that? He will teach you all things and bring all things and to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Now, John is old when he writes this gospel. And there's the Holy Spirit bringing all things to his remembrance, showing him the deep things of God. And then Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart be not troubled, neither let it be afraid." We opened with that, didn't we, in verse 1. Listen, this is Jesus' gift not only to his disciples, but to us as well. In other words, to have his peace is to have his presence. How wonderful to have the peace of Christ. The things of the world can never give us peace. They're powerless to produce peace in our lives. I'll tell you what the world does. It steals our peace, doesn't it? Yes. Oh, the world lies because it cannot give peace. And the world, as you've heard me say so many times, the world bases its peace upon resources. But we base our peace upon the relationship that we have with our Savior. Amen. It's his peace that we have. Because of Jesus, Romans 5:1, because of our Lord, what we have peace now with God. When we pray about, and like in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, when it says, you know, be anxious for nothing, but everything, by everything with thanks, let your petitions be known to God, and the very peace of God himself will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. The very peace of God. Jesus said, "I'm giving you my perfect peace. I am the Prince of Peace. I've given it to you." It's a gift. Amen? We should have it this very moment. And you've heard me say, "I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is what? Greater than I." You might want to mark that. Jesus is saying, "Hey, I'm leaving, but you should be happy about it. You should be rejoicing about it because I can't send the Holy Spirit until I'm back in heaven, okay, with my Father." But here, when he says the Father is greater than I, there are certain cults today, like the Jehovah Witnesses, they'll take this verse and they teach that Jesus, now you see, he said himself that he is lesser than God. That is not what Jesus is saying at all. His nature is God, amen? He's the God-man, 100% man, 100% God. Jesus had already told us in John 10:30, he says, the Father and I, we are what? One. In John 14, 14:9, he says, if you have seen me, Jesus said, you have seen the Father. Totally contradicts what the false teaching of that cult says. And now I've told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe, and I no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim. He has no hold. He has nothing in me. He's the sinless Son of God. So time, he says, is short. He says, you know, the evil one, he's coming. Now he's going to be leaving. We'll have a long time to get there, though. But he'll be going, of course, to the garden and then the betrayal and then the cross that's waiting him for him. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment. Remember that commandment? John 10:18. No one takes my life. I have power to lay it down, power to take it up again. Of this commandment I received of my Father. Jesus of his own volition willingly died for each and every one of us for the sins of the world. He says, oh, I received this commandment. And he says, so I do. Now look what he says. Arise and let us go from here. In the Greek, if you were reading that, it would be like, Jesus is maybe, it seems, rising to his feet. He's in the upper room. And it is spoken with haste. In other words, time is now short. Church, listen, I know that you're preparing for Thanksgiving, and we should have a wonderful Thanksgiving this year. But may I say something to you? Life is so short. If you're not living for the Lord, when are you going to start? Because it'll soon be over. You see, when I read that, arise and let us go from here, I say to all of us, let us arise. Let us go. Let us obey the Lord. Let us follow the Lord. Amen? He says, if anyone loves me, Oh, what a wonderful thing. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. May God help the church today. May God help us and forgive us. Do we know the Holy Spirit of God? Do we depend upon him? Do we know that he's in us and with us? Do we know that we really don't belong to anything in this world because we're not of this world? That we are his own special people? That we are truly his children? And that we are the only people, the only salt, the only light? We're the only people that can help in this world. We're the only people that are privileged to be able to go to the throne of grace and have a welcome there because of our relationship with Jesus Christ and because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for this word this morning. I thank you for people that are here. I thank you that it touched their hearts. It's not my words, it's your words, Lord. You can't water that down. You can't soften the effect of it. But, oh Lord, those are the most beautiful words in the Bible. We want our bodies to be the home of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, we want you to make your home always with us. Father, if there's anyone here that is, they don't know you, they've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life, oh Lord, I plead with them that when this song that Kevin is about to sing, when it ends, that they will come to this altar where they will be loved, where they will find men and women who will embrace them and tell them how Jesus can be the Lord of their lives. Oh Lord, bless your people now. May these words live in their hearts. May they overflow their hearts, Lord, with your word. May we truly love you, truly obey you, truly follow you all the days of our life. And not in our own strength, Lord, but in the strength and in the power of the divine helper, the Holy Spirit. We love you now. We ask it in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet.